You ought to say amen right there. Amen. There's none worthy except Him. Amen. You take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Psalms chapter number 51. Psalms chapter 51. I wrestled with this all day long. Sunday morning, I preached just a little bit on the rough side. And we talked about sin. I don't know if you remember it or not, but we talked about people getting the flu shot. And what extremes we go to protect our physical well-being, but how loose we are at protecting our spiritual well-being. Amen. Then Sunday night, Brother Freddie came behind me and preached on the subject matter of how we ought not to sin. Just because we have forgiveness of sin is not an excuse to sin. Amen. Are you listening? I don't want to sin you to death. People can't take a whole lot of preaching on sin. That's just a fact. It really is. And I pray, I'm not afraid to preach on sin, but you can't handle it. It's true. And I prayed today and I said, Lord, if they don't have a big enough appetite for the book, God, just lead me in another direction and we'll file this and we'll address this on another date. If they've had too much in this direction, and the Lord plainly spoke to my heart and said, no, they've had not near enough. So we're going to talk about sin tonight. Very simple, very simple. All I'm going to do is use the Bible tonight. I preached on sin Sunday morning. Brother Freddie preached on sin Sunday night. And tonight I want to preach on this thought, what is sin? What is sin? If you were to ask a child, you'd probably get the clearest answer. They'd say doing something God said don't do. That's a sin. Somebody said that sin is a transgression of God's law. Yes, sir. Yes. What is God's law? Well, it's the Ten Commandments. And by the way, they're not ten suggestions, they're ten commandments. Right. Amen? Right. Somebody said, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Yeah, and you better thank God 10,000 times, amen, that we're not under the law. Amen. Amen. But the law is our schoolmaster, yes, sir. The Bible says. You know what the law does? It shows us how wicked we are. Because there's not one alive, never has been, except Jesus Christ, who could literally keep the law. Amen. Somebody said, I've never broken one of the Ten Commandments. You just did, you lied. Amen. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, well, I got to spit this cough drop out, or I'll spit it on one of y'all. Somebody said that we're not under law, we're under grace. But you know what? In the New Testament, I found out, and I've preached this before, but that's not what I'm preaching tonight. But in the New Testament, we find that this thing is intensified. It's not decreased. In the Old Testament, a man was stoned to death for committing the act of adultery. But Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you have committed adultery already in your heart. Wow. In the Old Testament, the action was punished, but in the New Testament, the thought is condemned. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So sin is still a very big issue with the Christian. Yes, sir. I know it's an issue with the world, and we want to point at the world and think that they're all a bunch of filthy, rotten sinners, but fact of the business is we're all a bunch of filthy, rotten sinners. We have not arisen to some supernatural, super spiritual state where we're little gods floating around like some of these televangelists would have you believe. Like Kenneth Copeland said a few years ago, standing on a stage, scared me to hear the man say it out of his mouth. He said, look at me, look at me, look at me, you're looking at God. That's what he said. I thought, man, what a fool. What a foolish thing to say. Let me be honest with you. When you look at me, you're looking at the farthest thing from God you'll ever see in your life. Amen. Because when you look at me, all you're seeing is this old nasty flesh. Amen. I am a sinner, but thank God I am a sinner saved by grace. But just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I don't have to deal with this issue of sin. Let's look at Psalms 51 tonight, and I just want us to look at the gravity of sin. Sometimes we take it so lightly, but I want you to see how serious it is to carry this thing with us. We all sin. The Bible said if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know what that means? That means we're not supposed to carry this sin. But what we do is let it stockpile. Am I right about it? We let that stuff pile up and go unconfessed and go unconfessed and go unconfessed. That's why we have in our churches people getting saved over and over and over again. They're not getting saved over and over again. They just get so far away from God and so far out in sin that they literally don't feel saved anymore. When a whole lot of repentance would have stopped that. God is not the author of confusion. We okay tonight? I'm telling you, the Lord is building up to these last days, and I think He's trying to get His church prepared spiritually to meet Him. Amen. I'm telling you, He's been working me over pretty good these last few weeks. Psalms chapter 51, the psalmist said, David did, and this was after Nathan the prophet came to him about the deal with the little lamb. Y'all remember? But it was really a story about Bathsheba and what David had done. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Watch what he said. Blot out my transgression. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, if you want to learn a prayer to quote in the Bible, there's a good one, right? I'd say that'd be better than learning the Lord's Prayer right there. Amen. We okay? You don't ever hear anybody pray that one. Amen. Boy, I have. Today. He said in verse 3, he said, for I acknowledge my transgression. Watch this. He said, and my sin is ever before me. Wow. You know what he's saying? There's something in front of me. I would like to move forward. I would like to go on. But every time I do, there it is. How many think if there's something, there's something in your life, if you know in your heart, you just know if that thing was gone, you could do more for the cause of Christ. Or you could even walk closer in your relationship with the Lord if that one thing was gone. That's what David's saying. He said, my sin is ever before me. He said in verse number 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil. Wow, in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, I was born a sinner. Yeah. Now back up just a second. In verse number 4, he said, against thee only have I sinned. There's our problem. When we sin, we think, well, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. No. He said, I've sinned before you. Yeah. Amen. You can find that again in the New Testament when the prodigal son came home. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He said, I've sinned before you. It's not that you have transgressed against me or that you have transgressed against the church. I've seen people out in public. I remember a few years ago we were having this, they were having that street dance down there on the Gold Rush Parade Day, and we went down to hand out tracts, and the youth choir was going to sing, and we was handing out gospel tracts and preaching and all that, and I seen two or three different members of this church with a beer in their hand. You remember that? Oh, I could name names. I know it, Brother Freddie, but you want to tag off just a second? I'll let you handle that. Amen. But sure enough, I walked up to this one lady, and I just slipped up behind her. I'd seen her turn sideways, forgive me, but I do know what a can of Budweiser looks like. And I slipped up behind her and tapped her on the shoulder, and she turned around, and brother, every ounce of color went out of her face immediately. And she said, oh my God. That's what she said. I said, yeah, because he saw you way before I did. I said, I ain't going to love you any less. I'm not even going to think any less of you because I know you're human. I said, but it's breaking God's heart. David realized that. He said, this adultery, this murder. I mean, brother, don't you think he had sinned against everybody that thing touched? But in his sight, he said, I've sinned against thee and thee only. He was more concerned about breaking God's heart than Amen. Bathsheba's family. Yeah, amen. 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 We okay? Amen. We need to get that in our minds that when we sin against God, or when we sin, it is against God. Amen. You say, well, how is it against God? It's His law we're breaking.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
If I cheat on my wife, I'm not just breaking her heart.
Yeah.
My wife's not the one who made up the rule that I should be faithful to her. God made that rule up a long time before we got here.
That's right.
Amen? I remember when I was a boy, there was a lot of things as a teenager. I was pretty wild, but there was some lines drawn. There were some things I would not do. I never spent a night in jail, never. You know why? Because I knew that phone call would kill my mother. I had enough respect for my mother. I had none for myself. But I had enough respect for my mother that I saw to it that she never... There's times I should have went to jail, but I can run pretty quick. I knew that phone call would break her heart. How many of you feel that way about your mom? Every one of us do. We need to get to where we feel that way about our Savior.
That's right.
Amen? I want to look at some scripture tonight and show you exactly what sin is. Let's paint a good picture of it. The world has painted a false picture of it for us for years. The world would have you believe that every time you pop open a can of beer, six girls with 6 foot long legs show up, supermodels driving a Ferrari. Why don't they show you the man with his head hung in the commode? Why don't they show you the accident on the side of the road that Brother Tommy's had to work so many of, where a drunken driver kills a family? Why don't they show those pictures on their stinking commercials? Let's look at a real picture of what sin does to our lives tonight. Brother Charles, find that scripture for me. It'll hit me in a minute. I want you to notice in Isaiah chapter number 1, in verse number 6, we're going to see what sin is. See just what it is we're carrying as we carry around the weight of sin. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 6, he said, from the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. We see sin pictured as a horrible disease.
Amen.
We see sin pictured as a horrible disease. Find that scripture, Brother Charles, where it says, put away all anger and wrath and malice. You know what I'm talking about? See if you can find that right quick. Here's what I want to say about sin. I thought about it today, and I could not think of one sin. I could think of a whole lot of sin that is fun. Boy, it got quiet right there. I can think of a whole lot of sin that is fun. How many of you get jealous of the world sometimes?
Yes, sir.
Come on, be honest. I can think of a whole lot of sin that's fun. That looks like fun, and it is. Sin brings pleasure for a season.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's still true today. Oh, you'll have fun for a little bit, but it's short-lived. Are you listening to me? Here's what I thought about. I went through my mind with every sin I could think of, and I could not think of one that is healthy. I could not think of one sin, Brother Charles, that I'm talking about physically now, that is good for you. Maybe some of y'all got some. I couldn't think of one. Somebody said, oh, global warming, that's a bunch of bull. We're not globally warming, we're globally cooling. That's fact. Well, everybody's getting skin cancer. Everybody's running around naked.
Preach, brother. Preach.
You say, well, grandma and grandpa didn't get skin cancer. You go on the internet and look up old-timey pictures of them old farmers plowing in the field. They had a shirt on with their sleeves down to there. Their bodies was covered in a big old round hat on top of their head. I'm not saying you got to dress like that. I'm just saying the world's telling you it's because of this and it's because of that. No, it's because modesty went out the closet. I'm telling you, sin is never healthy. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. Physically or emotionally. You find that, Brother Charles? Jump up and read that for me good and loud, if you would. Listen to him.
This is Ephesians 4:31.
Yes, sir.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Wow. How many happy, bitter people do you know? How many happy, angry people do you know? You ever see anybody just bent over laughing? You say, man, what's going on? I'm so mad, I can't stand it. You don't see that. You don't ever see nobody with joy in their heart when their heart's filled with anger and malice and wrath and bitterness. Hey, man, those sins will kill you. When we think about sin, we think about alcohol, we think about dope, we think about adultery. Hey, but man, it goes deeper than that. It can even be the bitterness we got buried in our heart. Sin is like a disease. Now listen, I'm not going along with this world that says so-and-so is a drunkard, so he has a sickness. No, 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 he has a sin. But it is like a sickness. It's like a disease. It will eventually kill you. Amen. But we always want to point out the big ones. But them little ones will do you in just as well. Amen. I know. If my little brother was here tonight, and he couldn't be, he called me before church, but if he was here tonight, he could tell you something about bearing bitterness in his heart. He and I both. He has stories from our family that would curl your toenails up. And I wouldn't dare speak out of school. But me and him had to work together and pray together, not only to get that out of his heart, but to get it out of mine too. Do you know what I did? Do you know what I did? When was Jonah born? Last Tuesday night? Last Wednesday morning, you know what I did? I picked up the phone and I called a man I used to hate and despise with everything within me. And I called him up and I said, Dad, you got a new grandbaby. He said, Son, I love you. And from the bottom of my heart, Brother Charles, I could honestly say, and I thought about it as I said it, I said, I love you too, Dad. Amen. And I was checking myself the whole time. Is it real? It is real. Why? Because I had to learn to put that mess from me. Why? It was not healthy. It was not healthy. It's not healthy. Hey, we want to please God and we want to be a blessing to others and all this. And we want to be right with God. But hey, I mean, let's just get down to a physical level here. It's sin is not healthy. Amen. I hope you're okay with this. Sin is pictured as a putrefying disease. Hey, the smaller the sin, just the longer it takes to kill you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm right about it. How many of you has thought of, your mind's working, how many of you has thought of a healthy sin? I worked on that today. I thought, well, that couldn't hurt you. Well, yeah, I guess it could too. You know, you know, and I was going through all that stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Sin is pictured as a disease. Psalms chapter 38 and verse number 6. Psalms 38 and verse number 6. I'm going to hurry through this. I'm just going to show you some scriptures and how it pictures sin. In Psalms chapter number 38 and verse number 6, it's pictured as a heavy burden. Sin, a heavy burden. When we think about burdens in our life, we're thinking about our finances that are bad, our health that is bad, relationships that are bad, all these things. But sin itself is a burden. Are you listening? Psalms 38 and verse number 6, he said, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. That ain't no way to live, is it? Listen to him as he says it again. He said, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. You know what that's from? That's from a heavy weight. I go mourning all the day long. I'm going to say something here, and it's going to be pretty bold. I know people whose sin doesn't bother them. I have to wonder, and I'm not judging, but I have to wonder, do they even know the same God I know? If their sin doesn't weigh them down, if it doesn't cause them restlessness at night,
come on,
If there's no guilty conscience whatsoever, maybe you're here tonight and you're continuing in some kind of secret sin or whatever it is, and it's not bothering you whatsoever, you better check your salvation, friend. You say, preacher, you are being judgmental. No, I'm just telling you what I know. I know that I'm saved. And I know that I do wrong. And I know when I do wrong, I feel like a low-down, rotten dog. Amen. Sin's a burden. It's hard to carry it around. My wife said this. She said, I don't worry about you cheating on me because I know if you did, you'd tell me. You ask my mother when she gets back to church. Everything I ever did, I come home and told her about it. Why? It would kill me. And it's still that way today, brother. It just bothers me. It bothers me when you do wrong, but it bothers me more when I do wrong. You know why? Because I can't do nothing about you. I learned that a long time ago. That's why I don't get discouraged when you don't do right, because I cannot control you. I'm your pastor and I'm to preach to you the truth, but I can't make you do right. Amen. No more than you can make me do right. Yes, but when I sin, I know that it's not your fault. The psychiatrist wants to blame everybody and their brother. Well, did your mother beat you? Yes, she did. She beat the fire out of me.
Amen.
Every chance she got. I got them on credit. Amen. They want to blame everything on somebody else. Jeffrey Dahmer ate people because of something. No. Sorry, that won't fly.
Amen.
If that was true, I would be the biggest, I can't think of the right word, floozy hopper in the country. That's the best word I can come up with. If that was true, I could say, well, my dad's been married 5 times. That's why I ain't good to my wife. I'm good to my wife because of what I saw not to do. I made up my mind when I was a little boy. My little boy will never lay awake in bed at night and cry and think his daddy left because of him. My boy will never go through that.
Amen.
Blame everything on everybody else. That monkey's on your back. Amen. That's why my sin bothers me and it's heavy. How many of you remember how it felt? We don't base our salvation on a feeling, but you remember how it felt when you got saved.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if it was 100 years ago. You, Miss Peggy, ain't no telling how. She'd probably been saved since Hoover was the president. I love you, baby. She's nodding her head. It's been that long, and she remembers. You know what you remember about it? I'm going to tell you what you remember about your salvation experience. You remember, I've heard it said 1,000 times over, it felt like somebody drove a dump truck off my chest. That's what happened. It wasn't just a dump truck, but it was a dump truck load of sin that had you burdened down and weighted down. And when the Lord lifted that off of you, man, you felt free. So sin is a heavy load. It's a heavy burden. It's unhealthy. It's killing us. Amen. Sin will hurt your relationship with your spouse. Oh, yeah. Hurts your relationship with your children. Hurts our relationship with one another. We saw sin pictured as a disease, as a heavy burden. Luke 15. In Luke 15 and verse number 17, we see it pictured as foolish insanity. You may not admit it, but every one of you have said this. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to change the Bible, but here's what he's saying. When he said he came to himself, you know what he said? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? I must have been a fool to leave what I had. Look where I am now. You know what I want to do? There's some people out of this church tonight. Brother Freddie named some of them, they said Sunday night. But I'd like to get a hold of them and shake them real good and say, where are you now? What were you thinking? Yes, you got mad at me, but was it worth losing your children? It is a foolish thing. It's a foolish thing when we allow sin to drive us away from the presence of God. It's foolish. It's very foolish. That's what he said. What was I thinking? I must have been out of my mind. My mother used to repeat one word to me over and over and over while we did the circle dance. Who knows what the circle dance is? That's her holding your arm and chasing you around in a circle with a hickory. Anybody know the one word my mother would repeat over and over and over? Nobody? Why? Why did you do it? Why? But my, shut up, boy. Why? Putting pinstripes up and down my legs. Why did you do it? Number one answer. Survey says? I don't know. Isn't that the God honest truth? It is the truth. She wanted an answer, and I gave her the only one I had. I don't know. I honestly don't know why I would do some of the stupid things I've done. I used to quote Flip Wilson, I'm telling my age. I'd say, the devil made me do it. She said, well, I'm going to beat him out of you. Amen. Sin, when we look back on it, it's always a foolish thing. It's always a foolish thing. We see it as foolish insanity. We see it as a heavy burden. And we see it as a putrefying disease. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22. I want us to see sin as a defiling filth. Listen to me. I'll never forget the first time. I have bad sinuses, but I have a very sensitive nose. I can smell. I guess I'm part dog or something. I can smell. And I'll never forget the first time I went to the Atlanta Baptist City Rescue Mission. And I knelt down in the altar with a black man. Found out later, Brother Barnes told us that he used to be an attorney, a high-dollar attorney in New York City, and got hooked on cocaine, lost his family, his license to practice law, wound up homeless in Atlanta. And there I was praying with a high-dollar lawyer, but he didn't smell like no high-dollar lawyer. He smelled like a Port-a-John plus vomit. I could not breathe. I had to hold my breath as I talked to him because I knew I was fixing to lose my cookies right there too. What are you saying, preacher? That inward had become outward.
Yes, sir.
And manifest itself for what it was. Filth. Filth. 2 Peter 2:22. The Bible said, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Boy, what a picture. What a picture. When we go back to the junk that God saved us out of, what a picture. I always think about, some of y'all will remember, some of you weren't here then, but Mitch Noble. Oh, what a retard. I loved that kid with all my heart. He was my best friend's son, still is my best friend's son. But Mitch has always had a type A, wide open, outgoing personality. And I'll never forget, Brother Tim and Sister Angie built a new house. It's where Brother Rusty Weathers lives now. And I was putting the plumbing in their house. Sister Angie was going to a wedding that day, and she had gotten Mitch dressed up. He was about this tall. He had on a solid white suit, white. I'm talking about white shirt, white tie, white jacket, white pants, white shoes. Solid white. I think he was in the wedding. I'm up under their house. It's rained for days. I'm laying in mud and water this deep, literally. The house is about this high off the ground. I looked around, and here comes Mitch on his all fours. Wide open as a case. Now, psh, 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 psh. In that white suit. That's a true story. He come all the way across that crawl space to where I was. He said, "What are you doing, Brother Eddie?" I said, "I better be protecting you." About that time, I heard Angie, and I thought about God coming to the garden and looking for Adam. She said, "Mitch, where art thou?" Mitch looked at me and went, "Shh." I looked at him and grinned real big. I said, "Here he is." Son, the dying camp come out in that woman when she saw him. I mean, she went ballistic, boy. Why? Because she went to all the trouble to clean him up, make him white from head to toe, and no sooner did he get out of her sight than there he was ruining everything that she had done. That suit cost no telling how much. How do you think God feels when he forgives us of all our sins, washes us clean, white as a driven snow, and as soon as we get away from him, we're right back in the same field that he drug us up out of? We need to get to the place where we see our sin for what it is. Well, I'm not hurting nobody. Yes, you are. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your family. You're hurting those who care about you and love you. I'm not trying to preach hard tonight. Honestly, I'm not. But we need to see the gravity of what we allow in our lives. How serious a matter it is. Amen. I bet you across America tonight there's few preachers preaching like this anymore. Very few. Oh, we offend people when we talk about preachers that won't preach against sin. But boy, they're out there. You ought to thank God, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but you ought to thank God you got some men around here. Amen. That'll still tell you. Sometimes I don't feel worthy to tell you because I'm guilty of what I'm telling you. Y'all okay? Y'all can't stand honesty, can you? Brother Charles, as godly as you are, you ever preached on a subject and you felt guilty for preaching it? Yeah. You know what that means? We ain't no different than you are. We got to get it right just like you got to get it right. Sometimes I think God lets me preach on some of this stuff because he knows I got to get it took care of before I can tell it to you. Say amen right there, brother. That's the truth. We see it as filth. Luke chapter number 11, we see it as a debt. A debt. We got the Lord's Prayer there. He said, "Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Amen. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil." He pictures sin as being a debt. Yes, sir. I love that song that says, "He paid a debt. I owed a debt I could not pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe." Amen. We owe a debt. Amen. When we picture our salvation or our relationship with the Lord as a banking account. Would you? When we allow sin to pile up in our lives, you know what it's doing, don't you? It's driving us further and further into the hole. That's what it's doing. And here's what we think we can do with our salvation. We think, when I was little, my kids thought, they'd say, "Can we do such and such?" And I said, "I don't have the money." Write a check. Amen. Just write a check. Sometimes that's our mentality with our salvation. We just gonna swipe the card. Oh, I got 1 John 1:9. You better get that thing taken care of pretty quick.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Huh? Amen. Tell you something happened to me this week. I always leave here on Sunday night and go straight to the bank and put my checks. I get paid on Sunday. Put my checks in the night deposit right here at Regions Bank. Always on Sunday night. This Sunday night, something happened. My mom was rushed to the hospital Sunday afternoon. I stayed at the hospital all night, Sunday night, half the day Monday. You know what I didn't even think about? Never crossed my mind. My checks were still in my shirt pocket, laying in the closet from Sunday. I started to get my stuff up to go to the cleaners Tuesday. I said, oh my soul. So before I ran to the bank, I ran to the computer and pulled up my account. I had $175 in check charges. Not on purpose, just a mistake. What happened? We got out of balance. We got out of balance. You cannot just keep letting it go. You cannot just keep letting it go. You've got to keep it confessed and keep it clean. I know Brother Freddie said you ought not sin, and you ought not to, but here's the truth, you're gonna. I don't think we ought to just do it on purpose, but you're gonna. And when we do, we need to get the thing right immediately. You ever opened your mouth and wished you could grab those words you just said and pull them back? You regretted it as soon as you said it? If you regretted it as soon as you said it, how long did it take you to get forgiveness for it? You may even turn right around and said, I'm sorry to the person you said it to. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that to come out that way. You better tell God you're sorry. Amen. Amen. Get those debts paid off. Get those debts paid off. You say, how do I pay them off? You can't pay them. But I tell you what you can do. You can get some transferred from his account to yours.
Hallelujah for that.
Amen. You can get some. Hey, he'll do a transfer for you. He'll say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned against you, God. Lord, it's breaking my heart that I've done this in your sight, God. And I'm sorry, Lord. And he says, cha-ching.
Amen.
Got it covered. Amen. We okay tonight?
Amen.
Sin's a debt. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. It's a stain. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white, or they shall be as wool. I know I've told y'all this, but I'll never forget something Dr. Tom Williams said. Brother Freddie and Brother Charles were there. We were out in California. Brother Tom Williams said he always wondered why the double analogy right there in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. You say, what are you talking about? The white like snow, and then they shall be as wool. He said, I've always wondered about that. And that never even crossed my mind. Thank God for smart preachers. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, how many times can you wash snow? Thank you, Clint. One time. We only need to get saved one time. How many times can you wash wool? Most durable fabric known. You can wash her over and over and over and over. We only need to get saved once, but we need to get clean over and over and over again. Amen? Why? Because there's a stain. There's a stain. I like that commercial about that stuff called shout. Shout it out. Amen? We need to get to the altar and ask God to shout them out, brother. Amen? I wonder how many of us, we look clean. I wonder how many of us are carrying some stains tonight. I wonder how many of us are carrying a debt. I wonder how many of us are acting a fool. I wonder how many of us are carrying a heavy burden. I wonder how many of us are carrying around a disease that's killing us. Lastly, and I'm done, John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. What is sin? John chapter number 3 and verse number 19. We see sin as a darkness. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I'm not wanting to brag on anybody's past tonight, but I wonder how many people in here be honest and say, I've been in a bar. Boy, I have to have been a bunch of them. Been a bunch of them. Brother Tom's been in them all over the world. He was in the army. Never mind, I won't tell you stuff, brother. You ever seen a brightly lit bar?
Yes, sir.
Brightest light in the place where I used to hang out was the light that hung over the pool table. Them little booths and them little tables. Dark, boy. Why? Because we love darkness rather than light. Why does more sin take place during the nighttime than it does the daytime? Because we think nobody can see. But do you know what the Bible said in Proverbs? It said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He not only sees the good we do and is taking note, but He sees the bad we do and is taking note. What is sin? It's sickness. It's a disease that's killing our relationship with God. That ought to be our first and foremost concern. But then it's a sickness that's killing our physical body as well. It really is. Man, everything that's good causes cancer, don't it? I'm going to be honest with you. Everything that's good causes cancer. I could smoke a cigar as big as the columns on the front of this church. Hey, man, I like them, boy. They'll kill you, won't they? You all right? You think about everything you do that would be good and looks like fun, the world's having, it's unhealthy. It'll hurt you in some way, shape, or form. God sees to that. All these promiscuous people sleeping around all over the place. It ain't just AIDS, friend. There's been sexually transmitted disease around as long as there've been people around. Amen. It's a sin, a sickness that's killing us. It's a burden that we were never intended to carry. God took that thing off of you when He saved you. Don't pick it back up. Amen. Don't pick it back up. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. That prodigal son said, what was I thinking? How did I let myself go this far? You ever had that thought? If you're honest, you're nodding like most of us are. It's filth. He said a dog returning to its vomit. You ever seen a dog do that? That's gross, ain't it? And then they want to come lick you. Get away from me, you heathen. I've watched them do it. They eat grass and then, you know, am I grossing you out? They bleh, puke that up and then they start lapping at it. It's exactly right, Stacy. Wonder what God's doing. When He delivers us out of the mess we in and we go right back, I wonder if He's doing just like Stacy. That's why the Bible's so blunt, man. That's why it paints such a vivid picture. Wow. That's filthy right there. I threw up a bunch in my life, and I ain't never eat it. But God said that's what it's like when we go back to it. I know some of us are giggling, some of us are gagging. But what we ought to be doing is weeping. He said it's a disease, it's a burden, it's insanity, it's filth. He said it's a debt. Whew. Wonder how many of us are about spiritually bankrupt tonight. He said it's a stain and it's a darkness. Wow. That's pretty much what the Bible says sin is. There were quite a few other references I looked at today, but I figured that's heavy enough right there. If there's ever been a time in America for revival, it's now. It's now. And I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, I wish Brother so-and-so would have been here tonight. You're here. And I'm here. I got here and started looking across the crowd tonight, and I thought about who all's not here. The Lord said, forget about it. I know who's there. You don't worry about who needs this message. I know who's there. You're going to be obedient to me. You're going to preach it. I'm being honest with you as I know how to be. I had another one right there ready to go. So I've been trying to get out of it all day long. If you'll sit still, I'll preach this one too. Let's stand to our feet tonight.